spend most of the time talking about Jonathan Mata, but we'll speak very briefly about Madhu Pandit and Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaitacharya. As far as Madhu Pandit is concerned, there's not much information about him except that he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And also, he was the one who worshipped Gopinathji in Vrindavan. You have these principal temples in Vrindavan, Radha Raman, Radha Damodar, etc. And so he is the one who installed and worshipped Gopinath, Shishi, Radha, Gopinath in Vrindavan. So that's about all we know. And Madhu Pandit, of course, was associated too with Srinivasacharya and... and the other Vaishnavas of Srinivasacharya's generation. So that's Madhu Pandit. Then Srimati Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaitacharya. And a little bit of information about her. So basically she was a daughter of Nishina Bhaduri, and she married Advaitacharya. And after their wedding, Advaitacharya went to live in Shantipur. And Srimati Sita Thakurani was always absorbed in the Vatsalya frame in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says that Sita Thakurani is considered to be Yoga Maya. And there's one book called the Gaura Parshada Chatavali that says in Krishna Leela she was Purnamasi, who was the mother of Sandapani Muni, who was Sri Krishna's guru. And Sandapani Muni is, of course, the father of Madhu Mangal, the famous Madhu Mangal joker, Krishna. And also the father of Nandi Mukhi Muni. And she actually, at a yoga maya, was a disciple of Narada Muni. So, and let's see, any other information. So there's... in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a following account of Sita Thakurani's visit to Jagannath Mishra's house, and I'll read this. One day, shortly after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaitacharya's wife, Sita Devi, who was worshipable by the whole world, taking permission of her husband, went to see the topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presents. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including bangles for the hand, armlets, necklace, and anklets. There are also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations, etc., etc., etc. She was riding on a palanquin, covered with cloth and accompanied by maidservants. She came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gorochan, turmeric, brinkle, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a big basket. Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachi Devi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs, and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very much pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. She blessed the newly born child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life." But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. On the day that the mother and son took bath and left the maternity room, Sita Thakurani gave them all kinds of ornaments and garments, and also honored Jagannath Mishra. So, and then some information about Sita Thakurani. Of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first took sannyas, she consoled Sachi Mata and also Vishnu Priya. And when Lord Chaitanya first took sannyas, he was drawn by love to Advaitacharya's house because he was unable to go to Vrindavan. And he went to Shantipur. Sita Thakurani got a chance to cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for several days. And after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to live in Jagannath Puri, Advaitacharya and Sita Thakurani used to go and visit him every year, and they brought their son Achyutananda with them. And so that's about all the information we have. Also, Sita Thakurani and Advaitacharya had six sons. And three of their sons were devotees. And three of them, their sons were considered no sons. They rejected three. So you see, even if the Supreme Personality of Godhead has children, sometimes his children end up being nonsense. So one should not think just because they happen to be your children, they're rays of Vishnu. And of course, Prabhupada says that it's just like the mother considers sandalwood pulp to be like, the stool to be like sandalwood pulp. Another example Prabhupada gave is the mother of a blind child considers the child to have lotus eyes. So sometimes this motherly affection goes a little too far, much too far. Okay, so then we'll speak about Janavamata, who is actually, we have a very lengthy explanation about Janavamata. Her father's name was Suryadas Sara Kela, and he lived in a place called Shalagram, and he had five brothers, Damodar, Jagannath, Gauri Das, Krishnadas, and Nishunga Chaitanya. Pretty nice. And Suryadas Sara Kela had two daughters, and the older of the two was named Vasudha, and the younger was Janava. It's described in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika. Gaura Ganadesh Dipika is the book by Kavi Karnapur describing who Lord Chaitanya's associates were in Krishna Leela. It says, Sri Varuna Rivati Yoram Shambhava Tasha Priya Shiva Sudha Cha Janava Sri Suryadas Shaka Mahatmana Sute Akakun Miru Pasha Chas Suryate Jasa Kichit Sri Vasudha Kavi api vivrunute ananga manjarim kechit janavim cha pachakshate ubayam tu smi chinam purvanyat satam matam. Understand that?
That is from ananga manjari.
What's the use of your education? So it says, Janava and Vasudha were expansions of Varuni and Revati. They were the wives of Balaram. Mm-hmm. And respectively, and also we explained that they were both, one of them was Ananga Manjari and the other one was a Prakasha or expansion of Ananga Manjari. Mm-hmm. So generally they're both considered Ananga Manjari when you talk about expansions or expansions of expansion. So Suryadas was known in his previous life as Maharaj Kukudmi. He was the one who actually was looking for a husband for his daughters. Interesting story in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Maharaj Kukudmi. In order to find a husband for his daughter, actually his daughter, Revati, he actually went to Lord Brahma. And he, when he went to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma was busy seeing a dancing performance. And what happened is that he had to wait for some time to see Lord Brahma. And because of the difference in the heaven, time experience in the heavenly planets to the time experienced here on the earthly planet, Lord Brahma eventually came out and said, look, anybody who you knew, gone. And nobody even remembers them. So, but if you hurry down to the earth planet, Balaram's there. And you can get him married to your daughter. So that's the same as Janavamata and also Vasudha, that they're both expansions. So it's described about Suryadas Sarakala, that he had a bodily effulgence as brilliant as the sun. So he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Obviously, you have to be a devotee of both. If you just accept one of them without the other, it's like half a hand logic. Krishnadas Kaviraj describing or comparing that to the story of the chicken who laid the golden egg. You know, you cut the chicken in half, and there's no more golden egg, and there's no more chicken. So, anyway, so actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says it's better to be an atheist than to worship one without the other. So, very important instruction. So, therefore, worship Gaura-Nathai, not just Lord Chaitanya. So, Suryadasa Keva began to think how to get his daughters married. Then one night he had a dream, and in that dream, Lord Nityananda came to him, and he saw himself giving his two daughters to Lord Nityananda. And then the next morning he woke up, and as was the system, he had a Brahmin friend, and he told his Brahmin friend to act as a messenger. He said to his Brahmin friend, "I saw Lord Nityananda was Balaram himself, and he was accompanied by all of his associates, and my two daughters were with him, and they were Revati and Varuni. So, my dear Brahmin friend, you go to visit Lord Nityananda and with his marriage proposal," because that's generally how marriages took place in those days. The father of the girls or the father of the boys would actually send a messenger, a Brahmin messenger, and there was usually a matchmaker in every village too. So the Brahmin went to the house of Shivas Thakur, which is where Lord Nityananda was staying, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu told the Brahmin, "Don't worry, your heart's desire will be fulfilled." And the Dvaitacharya started jumping in ecstasy when he heard that Lord Nityananda was getting married. It's interesting. And he said, "May this take place very soon." So meanwhile, the Brahmin returned to Shalaram, where Suryadas was. And one great devotee of Lord Nityananda, named Krishnadas, who was a king, or a king's son, put his whole home at the disposal of Lord Nityananda for the wedding. And he had a lot of money, so he sponsored the wedding. So at the wedding, all the devotees, Srivastakur, Advaitacharya, Chandrasekhar, Murari Gupta, and all the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were actually living in Navadvip, of course not Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was in Jagannath Puri at that particular time, celebrated this wedding. And then during the wedding, as described in the Bhakti Ratnakara, that Suryadas fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and he flooded the ground with his tears. He was so ecstatic to have Lord Nityananda as his son-in-law. Probably the best son-in-law you could have.
Yeah.
And Lord Nityananda embraced Suryadas and he was absorbed in bliss. And the two daughters were married to Lord Nityananda. So for some time, Lord Nityananda remained in Shaligrampura. After that, he went to Navadvip and arrived at the house of Sachidevi with his two wives. So he offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of Sachidevi. Sachidevi took the two wives of Lord Nityananda, sat them on her lap, and affectionately pinched them on the cheek. So you can actually see between the Vaishnavas, there's so much like affectionate relationships. It's not that she just said, you know, "You are Nanda Mandri, expansions of Nanda Mandri, carry out your mission." it's not like Star Wars or something. Let's see. Oh, then Sita Thakurani, who was the wife of Lord Dvaitacharya, saw them and she did the same thing. She embraced them affectionately as Sachidevi did. And then Lord Nityananda performed endless kirtan and wandered from one place to the next, doing kirtan with his two wives. After some time, Vasudha gave birth to a daughter named Ganga and a son named Virachandra. It's described that Virachandra is considered to be an expansion of Lord Nityananda. So Janava Devi had no children, but it's considered that these two children were her children because she took care and raised the two children of Vasudha. Then, after Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Srivas Pandit, many others in the entourage of the of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to the spiritual world, Janava Mata wanted to further inundate the world with Sankirtan. So she took part in this wonderful festival at Kateri Gram on the Falgun Purnima Day. That means the full moon day of the month of Purnima, which is Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. And there was a great festival. And of course, that festival is related in the Bhakti Ratnakara, in which the three great acharyas, Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda, and Srinivasacharya installed six deities. And these six deities were discovered by Narottama Das Thakur in what's called Go Down. You know what a go down is? Go down doesn't mean go down. Go down means like a warehouse. So there was a warehouse of a very rich man in which rice was kept, and there were venomous snakes in this warehouse. So Narottama Das Thakur, he had the inclination to go into this warehouse, and the owner said, "Don't go there, there's venomous snakes, they're going to bite you." And so he went in anyway and discovered these deities there in this particular warehouse. And these are the six deities that were installed during this festival at Kateri Gram. So Janavamata arrived, and Janavamata was engaged in deity worship. It's like in India nowadays sometimes, at least in ISKCON, they don't let the ladies engage in deity worship, but Janavamata engaged in deity worship, cooked the offering for Gaur-Nitai, and all the devotees, and began to serve all the different devotees. Let's see. Then, what happened? Yes, anyway. So this is a festival. So the six deities were reinstalled, and Raghunandana from Shikhanda, Raghunandana was one who gave, forced Krishna to accept prasadam in a previous pastime when he was very young. He began the first kirtan. The kirtan continued until midnight. The following day, Srinivasacharya himself performed the Abhishek ceremony for the installation of the six deities. Narottama Das Thakur began to perform kirtan, and in the middle of that kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared, along with Lord Nityananda, all of the eternal associates, and it was a complete, how can I even describe it? Amazing kirtan. And when they ended the kirtan, they all disappeared again. So, on the third day of the festival, Janavamata cooked for all the devotees and the deities. And after she cooked, she distributed all the prasadam to the devotees by her own hand. So when this festival was over, she headed to Vrindavan. And eventually they arrived in Mathura. She took bath in Vishramghat. And there in Vrindavan, she was greeted by, actually Mathura, they came to Mathura, these great devotees, to greet her. She was greeted by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Krishnas Brahmachari, Krishnas Pandit, and Madhu Pandit, who we mentioned previously. And also Jiva Goswami. All of them were introduced to Janavamata, who was informed of their names, and Janavamata felt great ecstasy seeing all these devotees. So, this way, she toured all the holy places in Vrindavan, being taken around by the Goswamis in Vrindavan, went to see Govardhan Hill, Radhakund, Shyamakund, and visited different places in the Lord's pastimes. And one interesting thing that occurred in Radhakund is that there were deities that she was worshipping of Radha and Gopinath. Some of you may have been to this temple with me. And she considered that the deity of Radharani that was accompanying Gopinath to be too small. So she ordered another deity, another Radharani deity, for Radha Gopinath, or for Gopinath. And that deity came later on when she wasn't there. And that deity happened to look exactly like her. So they considered that deity to be her, and they installed that deity as Janavamata, or Nangamantri, on the side of Radha Gopinath. And that those deities are installed in, of course, the Radha Gopinath temple, which adjoins the Samadhi Mandir for Raghunath Das Goswami. Does anyone remember that? Some of you may have been there with me. For Raghunath Das Goswami, and then also adjoins the sitting place, Baitak, for Janavamata on the banks of the Radhakund, and also the bathing place, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, that is, Raghunath Das Goswami, specially constructed a private a private bathing place for Janavamata. There's like stairs going down there. You haven't been there. Mm-hmm. You've never been to India.
Oh, I mean to Vrindavan. Like or like a day.
For a day?
Yeah.
What kind of Gaudiya Vaishnava are you? So there were stairs going down that were enclosed down to Radhakund, so only she could bathe and nobody could see her bathing. So anyway, then after she left Vrindavan, she arranged different marriages. She arranged for one particular devotee, Shainadas Chakravarti, to give his daughter Hemalata, who also became a guru in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Not only was Janavamata a guru, it's not mentioned in this particular biography, and she initiated many devotees in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but she also encouraged other ladies to become gurus and distribute Krishna consciousness. So this is bona fide within our Sampradaya. Actually, within our Sampradaya, there's many lady or female gurus. So she arranged for different marriages, and after arranging marriages, it's interesting, she arranged for the couples to worship different deities in different places, because she understood that in household life, people were more stable than brahmacharis or single people, and they could actually be dedicated to the service of the deities, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan and Vrindavan. The original Goswamis actually arranged for household couples to take over the worship of the deity or the deities. And eventually those families became known as Goswami families. Mm. But they're not actually Goswamis in the sense of being renounced from the material world. So, anyway, so then after some time she went to visit the village of Ekachakra, which is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And then she took darshan of Lord Nityananda's village. And she took darshan there and she heard about the father and mother of Lord Nityananda, which is Hadaya Pandit and Padmavati. And she was feeling so much separation, began to cry in ecstasy. And a local brahmana took her around and she saw the different places of Lord Nityananda's childhood pastimes. And she stayed in the empty house which had once been occupied by Lord Nityananda's parents. And she stayed in Lord Nityananda's room. She passed the night chanting the names of the Lord in ecstasy. Then she went to Kapla. And there she saw the place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas and wept there. And later on she went to Yajigram and she was greeted by Srinivasacharya, who welcomed her with a great devotion and actually put her on a vyasasana and performed puja to her. Mm. Then she went back to Navadvip and met Ishan, the family servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachimata. And she went to the courtyard after that of Srivastava, that is where the Srivastava was, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates had the 24-hour kirtans, or actually 48-hour, 72-hour kirtans. And all night long she was chanting and dancing in the courtyard of Srivastava. And that night when she went to rest, she had a dream in which she saw Lord Chaitanya and the devotees performing different pastimes. After that, she went to Ambika Kam, where this great devotee Gauridas Pandit had lived. And since then he had passed away. And he was the one who Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda posed for and had their deities made. Gaurinatai deities. And of course, these are the same deities that ran away one day following Gauridas Pandit's devotee, Hriday Chaitanya, or Hridayananda originally, and they jumped into Hridayananda's heart because they were afraid of Gauridas Pandit. I mean, it's a whole story which we don't have time to tell. And so Janavamata worshipped these deities of Gaurinatai, and the devotees began a tumultuous kirtan. And Janavamata personally did the puja, cook many preparations for the pleasure of Gaurdataya and offered it upon the altar. So there's another instance of lady deity worship in India. It's interesting. I mean, if you look at our Sampradaya, there's no prohibition. And she also distributed prasad to the devotees. And that night she also saw Gauridas Pandit in her dream with Gaurdataya. So the following day, she went back to her own village, which is a place called Kora Doha Ram. And she met her son, you know, or Vasudeva's son, Birachandra, and his daughter, Ganga. And Ganga also became a spiritual master in our disciple succession. And they all offered their prayers at the lotus feet of Janavamata, and she smelled their heads in affection. See, you see there's so much affectionate relationships between the Vaishnavas. And after this, she again saw her co-wife, Vasudha, and offered respects to her, and she was actually the older one. Vasudha was the older one. And she retained a servant named Parameshwari Thakur. So Janava Mata is also known as Nityananda Sarupini, the other self of Lord Nityananda. She delivered many sinners and atheists by her mercy. Her divine opulence, that is Aishwarya, and sweetness, Madhurya, are both astounding. So today is her appearance day. And finally we'll read a quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Kalyana Kalpataru, in which this quote he prays at the lotus feet of Janava Mata. So, quote, "Having fallen into this ocean of misery, my life is a bewilderment, and I do not know how to reach its shore, nor even where to search for it. All my efforts, karma, are useless. All my knowledge, jnana, is useless. As our mysticism, yoga, austerity, religious penance, and mundane piety, none of these processes have any power to rescue me. I am weak, helpless, I don't know how to swim across this ocean of ignorance. Who will deliver me from this dangerous predicament? Within this dangerous ocean of material existence, I see the crocodiles of sense gratification. What a terrible sight! Within this ocean, I am tossed about by the turbulent waves, which constantly boil and churn like a ship without a rudder. The impulses and urges that I have acquired from my previous births are like a wind that blows the ship in all directions." Amazing. "My mind is unsteady. This ship has no captain, no direction. I weep in despair, seeing that I cannot cross this ocean of misery. O Janava Devi, today, by the power of your divine qualities, be merciful to this servant of yours, dispel this illusion which torments me, and relieve me of the anguish of material existence. Let me take shelter at your lotus feet, for in this way I shall certainly cross over the ocean of birth and death. You are Nityananda Shakti, the divine energy of Nityananda himself. You are the guru of Krishna Bhakti." Listen to this. "Be merciful to me and grant me the shade of your holy lotus feet, which are like wish-fulfilling trees. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please deliver me in the same way. Today, this lowly sinner falls at your holy feet, praying for your mercy." So, Janava Mata Ki Jai. So, anyone have any questions? Otherwise, we can end early. Questions or comments about Janava Mata? Or Lord Nityananda? No questions? Yes. Humility? It's not one of my qualities. How would I know? Humility? What is humility? Humility, I often say, quoting, not from the Shastra, but quoting, humility means to not necessarily. So humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less, first of all. And the way you do that is you think of Krishna's pleasure. You think of yourself as a servant of Krishna. And you don't get into details or depression about your contamination in this material world. And the only time you should get into that is to, as an impetus, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur did here, to take shelter in lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. But it's not, you don't, in other words, think of yourself less and think more about what Krishna wants. And I often would say that real humility, as far as devotees within the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is concerned, is to always think about what Krishna, what Prabhupada would want. You know, generally, we think about what we would want. You know, we want to look for the nectar. You know, I want the nectar. However, it's actually a higher status to think of what would Prabhupada want. And gauge your life or make your decision in life based upon what Prabhupada would say to you at this particular juncture. Therefore, it's required that the devotees, all the devotees, develop a personal, close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I was actually speaking to a devotee last night about this. The devotee gave class last night. We were talking about how can we encourage those who are not of the first generation. First generation means the initial followers of Prabhupada, or initiated by Prabhupada, to develop a relationship with Prabhupada. And he was mentioning to me, he said he hasn't seen any other religious organization where the subsequent followers of the religion develop a very deep personal relationship with the founder. Of course, you know, I mentioned Christianity, where people have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And generally that's the case in Christianity. You know, sometimes in the certain branches of Christianity, such as the Catholic Church, people have a deeper relationship with the present Pope or with their priests. But generally I've seen people have a very close relationship with Jesus Christ, so it's not unknown. It's not an unknown example or quantity that someone can have a direct relationship with someone who is no longer on the planet. In fact, I would say a lot of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I never even met Srila Prabhupada, they took initiation from Prabhupada, but they had a direct relationship because while Prabhupada was present, there was a continual emphasis on Prabhupada's instructions and Prabhupada's mood and Prabhupada's pastimes. You know, every day, basically the mood of the movement was that you would hear about Prabhupada. You know, where's Prabhupada today? So even if people never met Prabhupada, they were constantly reminded of their relationship with Prabhupada. So somehow or other, in our society, we have to institute certain mechanisms, literature, or, you know, we have to really think about what to do to help people maintain, keep, or deepen their relationship with this divine relation of the problem. And that's what will keep our society together. Otherwise, we will either break up or lose the spiritual potency or energy that is the impetus for the devotees of the movement or the carrying on of the Krishna conscious movement. You know, and this is it's a challenge. As Prabhupada mentioned to the devotees, when he was advising the GBC, he said, you should meet once a year to discuss unity and diversity, which is, we're understanding more as time goes on what that actually means. Because in our society, we have a diverse, have diverse viewpoints on how to carry out Krishna consciousness. Not diverse viewpoints on the principles of Krishna consciousness. I mean, nobody's thinking that we should smoke marijuana as one of the sacraments in our temple, you know? Like the wine, the body and the wine. You know, no one's thinking we should have the wine and crackers that are the body of Srila Prabhupada, you know, institute this and our movement. But, you know, there are diverse opinions on to, as far as how to spread the movement, you know, how to dress, what sort of musical instruments to play. Anyways, all sorts of diverse opinions. And we need to discuss this on the management level or on the brahminical level, the leadership brahminical level of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, how to please Prabhupada. And we've never really done that on the GBC yet, even though it's Prabhupada's instruction. Generally, the GBC meetings are dealing with different proposals, that some of them which become resolutions that are presented by special interest groups. I mean, not bad special interest groups, like you have the deity worship ministry present a proposal that, you know, they don't want people doing abhishekes, you know, whatever, something like that. Or there's another proposal that we should have disposable, let's see, biodegradable plates eventually by 2020. It's not a bad proposal. That's not what I'm saying. But the most important things to be discussed are the things which Prabhupada recommended, which is, you know, unity and diversity. You know, how to keep the movement together in spite of having such a diverse, let's say, diverse population. And we're not talking about diverse in terms of races or whatever like that. We're diversity in terms of opinions, like conservative, orthodox, reform. It sounds like we're Jewish. So, you know, it's definitely like that. I mean, you have one end of the spectrum, you have devotees, you know, wonderful devotees like Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, and then the other end you have wonderful devotees like Vridhananda Maharaj. And somehow or other, you've got to be part of the same society. How do you do that? Yeah. You know, that's a challenge. And of course, some suggestions, one of which I have come up with, is that you've got to have different orders. Like the Catholic Church has different orders, you know, the Jesuits, and all the different monastic orders. But ultimately, you have to have something called a catechism. Does anyone know what a catechism is? I'm sure you know what a catechism is. No, not rules. Basic philosophy and practices like that, which nobody can deviate from. So, unfortunately, we haven't really discussed that on the GBC, and that's really what needs to be discussed more than what to do with biodegradable plates. I mean, it's good we have biodegradable plates, but that's not really going to keep the movement together. Isn't it? Or whether we have abhisheks or not abhisheks. It's not really that significant. Okay, on that happy note, which will get me.